of the world and what took place an hour before we got here. All the rush, all the stress, all the craziness, Lord, that we now sense your presence. We can rest in you and listen to what you have. And Lord, may we absorb it and have ears to hear. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This week last Sunday we took a little survey, and I have the results up on the screen in a pie chart. So I just wanted you to see what the results were and to notice that the majority of everyone, even those who like hymns, also like the blended service. And so we continue to do our best to pick songs that encourage us to worship God. But no matter what it is, and it is totally up to you whether you worship or not. And I had a couple illustrations. Actually, Franz has one, and I'm going to have him come up and share his experience with you. We're going to kind of tag team a little bit on this one here. So I want him to come up and share an experience that he has that demonstrates that it really is a heart matter. And so go ahead, Franz.
So as most of you know, a few weeks ago now, almost a month ago, we had as an HCY, the Waters Christian Youth Group, taken a group of students and adults down to Gurnee, Illinois to go to the theme park. And so it was put on my shoulders, of course, the associate pastor, youth pastor. You can do the message, you can do this, we'll have a Sunday morning church service. And then as a gift to me, they decided, you know what, why don't we go to a different church? And that had been a busy week. I just got done doing three sermons, so I enjoyed the little reprieve. And so we went and checked out a church that some people were familiar with in southern Wisconsin. And it was a beautiful church. I was excited about it because I like checking out other churches. I like to see what other places are doing, what they're doing well, what we could incorporate, how we can be more worshipful. And so we get in there. And we sit down, and nice big stage. They have all kinds of guitars and drums and microphones set up. And so they bring out this band, and they start getting after it. And we have a bunch of middle school boys with us. They're enjoying it. And I start looking around. I enjoy looking around to see how other people are reacting. And there are some people that are enjoying the worship singing part of the service. And I found myself all of a sudden critiquing, as I had already said. I enjoy going to other places to see how they do things. And I found myself critiquing, and I started thinking, well, the lead vocalist, the man, he's playing a keyboard. They need to turn his mic volume up a little bit more. He's not loud enough. And then moments later, oh, the girls sound really good singing. They've got good voices. They could cut back on the smoke machine. There's a lot of smoke. And I'm not kidding. There's smoke. There were lasers. There was a light show. I mean, it was a rock show. But I'll tell you this. I can't tell the hearts of the people around me. I can't tell you the hearts of the people that were with us. But when I stopped and I looked around, from the outward experience, from what they were displaying, it looked like they were worshiping. And it looked like they had a heart that was worshiping God. Again, I don't know their hearts. The only heart I knew was my own. And at that point in time, I felt convicted. I still feel convicted of it. Because all of a sudden, I'm sitting there thinking, all right, this lady behind me, she is praising Jesus' name. I don't know the song. They got the words up on the screen so I can sing along, and I did. But I wasn't prayerfully seeking Jesus. I wasn't worshipfully seeking Jesus. I just knew my heart. I knew my heart at that point in time was so busy complaining about everything else that was going around that was making it less worshipful for me. And so then as I processed it, even as I came back, it was still heavy on me. It was still bothering me. And so then some conversation started at the board level, and just, you know, how do we make this as worshipful as possible for everyone? And that's where the survey came from. And then through some research on what is worship and what does it mean, and then Pastor Bill doing a sermon last week on it, and it's really just been stirring inside me. And for me, what my research brought me down to, what the root of it is how do you approach it? Where's your heart? I knew down there at that church service, I approached it wrongly. And so I had nothing, I felt, to bring at that point in time with where my heart was at. I had nothing worshipful to bring to Jesus Christ. I had nothing to bring to my Father God. And through that, I didn't receive much from the service because my mind was focused on everything else going around me and what could have been better, what could have been changed. But yet, I'm so thankful He still gave me, took the blinders off so I could see others around me worshiping. And so that was my experience. And even as a young associate pastor and still have a long way to grow and hopefully continue to grow and grow and grow, the Lord had to point out some things in my heart. That it's easy for me to listen to others around me or to think certain things with a certain song comes on. There's certain music I like. But if we played just the songs Franz likes and just played my playlist, you'd get awful tired of that. So, it's all about my heart. How am I approaching each Sunday morning? How am I approaching the worship and singing? How am I approaching receiving the message and being exhorted to follow Christ? And it starts with me. It starts with my heart. And so that was my experience.
And you know, there's not one of us that hasn't been there. I mean, I've been there many times. In fact, even here, you know, you get in the church, you've had things going on, rushing here, and then you get here, and I've had it where, you know, haven't had too many guys to pick from for the sound booth, and I'm kind of rushing around trying to find somebody for that, and I get my mind going 100 miles an hour, and I come up here, and then the songs are just songs. You know, I'm just singing songs because that's what I got to do. You know, and I find myself not placing my own heart in a worshipful attitude. And of course, we, you know, like Franz pointed out last week, we shared a little bit about what worship is. And it really does come from the heart. Even Larry last night, he said, you know, I found myself the same way at the church down in New Mexico, and he said I started getting more like, well, that's not, I don't care for that, and instead of putting his heart into worship. One man can go into the woods and worships God, and we all can relate to that because we see creation and we can go out there and we just like, wow, this is so, wow, God is so awesome. But what about the guy who lives in a big city? And he goes out on the rooftop in a big city, and he worships God just as much. How does that work? Because he looks out at the city, and he says, wow, God has given us human beings wisdom and knowledge to build these kinds of skyscrapers. And look at the sky, and look at the creation that God has given us to be able to build these things. You know, so he can worship in a big city. Why? And because of the heart. In Matthew 6:21, up on the screen, it's where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. It's where our treasure is. Where is our treasure? You know, I'd like us to go to Matthew chapter 12, 1487 in the Pew Bibles, 1487. Matthew 12, starting in verse 33. Now Jesus is talking to the guys, the worship leaders. you know, the Pharisees, the worship leaders, the guys that are in charge. And he says, make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you'll be acquitted, and by your words you'll be condemned. Now these individuals, you know, they thought they were doing what they should do. They got into the legalistic part. They got into the letter of the law, and they were telling people what to do and yet not doing it themselves. They got into whatever music there might have been, but it was just mechanical. There was nothing to it. And so, again, the fruit in the tree is the conscious choice of the individual. What are we feeding the tree that we have? What are we doing with that fruit that we're producing? Is it good fruit? Or are we throwing a bunch of garbage on it and we're developing fruit that is not good? You know, I know that Kathy, she's really into the gardening thing, you know, and we've got this nice garden out there, and she definitely has a green thumb. She just, I think things are growing like crazy. And me, you know, things would die. I know my stepmom, I gave her a cactus one time and it died. Now, you know, you'd only have to water, you put one drop of water on a cactus every month, you know, and somehow it died. I don't know what happened, you know, and she said, I definitely don't have a green thumb. So it was one of those ones that has a sand picture in it, and so that still is there today, just the picture, the sand. The cactus is gone. But you see, the thing is that sometimes we throw a bunch of garbage on the tree that we're growing, and we expect good fruit out of it. And it's not going to happen. We got to throw good things, fertilizer, the word, prayer, Bible study, so that the fruit will grow up good. You know, we can look good on the outside. Remember Jesus, he looked at the Pharisees, he said, you know, you're whitewashed tombs. Look good on the outside, but dead on the inside. You see, the problem is that, yeah, we like to do that. We, you know, and I do that myself. You know, at times I dress up, I'm smiling, I'm all confident, I'm looking like, you know, here I am, and I'm not. You know, and yet, in 1 Samuel 16:7, you don't have to turn there, but it says God looks on the heart. You see, what was happening was Saul had, you know, he lost God's favor. He turned away from God. And David was going to be chosen king. Well, Samuel, he goes to Jesse's house and he says, all right, let's pick a king. You know, God sent me here. Let's pick a king. Bring the sons out. And Jesse's bringing his sons out. And there's a couple sons, you know, they're handsome, ruddy, you know, big shoulders and all that. And he's going, yeah, that's got to be the guy. He's getting the oil ready. And the Lord says, nope, that's not him. And Samuel's going, come on, it's got to be him. You know, how many more does he have? And God tells him, he says, you guys, men, people, we look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. You know, God looks straight in and sees who we are and what we're doing and why we're doing it. You know, we're a lot like a little boy. We're a lot like a little boy, and he doesn't want to sit down, and the parents made him sit down. They pushed him, like some of us parents do. We push him, sit him down, and say, now stay there. Inside, the boy is saying, I may be sitting on the outside, but I'm standing on the inside. We get like that. You know, I understand it, you know, because I've been that way. I've gotten stubborn with God. I've kind of thought, yeah, I'm not going to do what you want me to do. I don't care. You know, and God gently pushes me and gets me to be where I need to be. But you know, it takes my will to come in line with Him. I read the scripture and I see what it says and I kind of go, I really don't want to do that. I really don't want to follow what He's telling me. And God keeps saying, you need to do it. And I find myself resisting it. But when I finally submit to God, boy, the blessings open up. You know, will I submit to God? It is a matter of will. Worship is a matter of will. Serving God is a matter of will. Doing whatever you do for God is a matter of the will. And He wants us to submit to Him. He wants us to bow before Him. And that, remember last week, we talked about worship is bowing before Him. We don't like to do that because we're all pride, you know, proud, and we think, yeah, I just don't want to bow. Well, I don't want you to bow to somebody else. You know, Revelation, we finished up Revelation, and John, several, a couple times in Revelation, he wanted to bow down to an angel, or someone that was talking to him. Could have been one of the servants of God as well, was already in heaven. But this person lifted him up and said, "Don't bow to me. I'm a fellow servant." So we're not to bow to one another, but to God, absolutely. Because He is all in all, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And we have to come into submission to that. Proverbs 27:19 is up on the screen. It says, "As water reflects a face, as so a man's heart reflects the man." You know, what is our heart reflecting? What are we demonstrating when we look in that reflection? What do we see? You know, in this world, it's hard to come to church without some kind of stress. You know, it's hard to come here and shed all the negatives and the bad thoughts. And, you know, we rush to get here. The kids aren't cooperating. And you know, the animals and the interruptions and all the things that happen when we get here. And then we're going 100 miles an hour. I know because that's happened to me many times. You know, comedian Alan, I can't think of his first, Dave Allen or whatever. Anyways, he talked about that, and he says, you know, the parents are driving to church and the kids are acting up, and they're, you know, he just wants to get them, you know, through the back seat. I'll get you, and the kids know where the spots are, so you can't reach them. And he told about that in one of his church seminars or comedian things, whatever he was doing, and this old guy came up to him and he said, "You need to learn something." And he got, "Oh boy, here I go, you know, I'm talking about hitting my kids, you know." And the old man says, "A tap on the brake brings them within arm's length." But seriously, we're all like that. And then we get to church and the kids run off and it's not over yet. And we're at church. You know, we have a tendency then, when we're all psyched and all, you know, flustered, we have a tendency then to get picky about things. You know, just like Franz, you know, he's worried about the kids and getting them here and getting them there, and he's working this whole leadership thing, and he gets to this church, and his mind isn't on worship. His mind is on all everything else. And so, you know, he sits and starts to look and get picky and critical instead of, you know, just saying, "Hey, I may not know this song, I may not know it well, but I'm just going to close my eyes and listen and let the Lord work on my heart." You know, Paul, there, it's easy for us to talk about it. But what's the answer to it? How do we get into the mode of worship? And I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 17:41 in the Pew Bibles. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 17:41. And starting in verse 24. It says, "Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. And therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Now, simply stated here, there's a lot of times when the alarm goes off and I don't want to get up. But I have an appointment. I have a meeting. I have something I have to do. You know, many of us, we go to work each morning during the week and that alarm goes off and we don't want to get up and we don't want to go to work. Maybe some of you really like your job, but after time, you know, I just want to stay in bed today. But we get up anyway. And we force the clothes on, and we put the cold water on our face, and we get our hair somewhat in order, and if it doesn't, we put a hat on, and then we go to work, and we go wherever we gotta go. And I've done that a few times where my hair is just like, wow, and I just put a hat on. You know, the thing is that we beat our body into submission. We make it do what we don't really want to do. And that's the way we have to handle everything about God. Because our natural, the sin nature, doesn't want to do what God wants. I mean, that's contrary to what God wants. We're always thinking, you know, oh, I want to go here. I want this. I want that. I want the easy route. There was a commercial way back, and the kid has a gown and cap on, graduating from college. And he says to his parents, he says, all right, I'm ready to retire now. Hasn't even worked. But he wants to retire. Oh, that would be fun. I would love to do that. I would just love to say, all right, you know, I'm retiring. But it's not like that. We need to make ourselves do what God wants us to do. And we have to do that through the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. I want another scripture we want to go through to is Hebrews. Chapter 12, and that's 1835 in your pew Bibles, Hebrews chapter 12. And I'll give you a little background on this chapter 12. Chapter 11, it talks about all those who live by faith. And it has a lot of commentaries. They call it the Hall of Fame for the faithful. You know, we have Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Moses. We've got Rahab and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and Daniel and Samuel and all these different people. But at the last of it, the last part of it says others. They don't name these people. They said others. You know, like David and Samuel and some of those guys. You know, they were blessed and they had a lot of things going for them. But others, it says in the latter part of 35, others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they were put to death by sword, they went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and caves, holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Chapter 12 ends, Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, all those that live by faith, let us throw off everything that hinders, and the sin that so entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you may not grow weary and lose heart. It says to throw off the sin that entangles us. Throw off the stress. Throw off the negative and the bad thoughts. Slow down. Quiet your heart. And worship God. When we come together, we need to let the Spirit of God move in our hearts. Meditate on what God has done this week. There's been a lot of things that God has done. Maybe you missed it. That's why you meditate on it. You know, last night I got up this morning early and I was laying in bed and all these things started going through my head. And I just thought about all the things that God has done through this week. How He has revealed Himself to me. How has He revealed Himself to you? What has He shown you? You know, how has He moved in your life? You know, there's a final song we're going to sing. I Need Thee Every Hour. It's an old song. You know, we've sung some great songs today, all pointing us to the majesty and the wonder of God. In this final song, it says, I need Thee every hour, most gracious Lord. You know, Larry has a new version to that. I need Thee every minute. But it doesn't rhyme. So I need Thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like Thine can peace afford. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to Thee. We're going to do the third and the fourth verse, so it says, I need Thee every hour in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need Thee every hour, most Holy One. Oh, make me Thine indeed, Thou blessed Son. You know, when we read those words and when we sing those words, it shouldn't be just words and a song and a few notes. It should be our heart singing to God. In every song we sing, it should be our heart singing to God and saying how great He is and how wonderful and how we praise Him. So I'd like us all to stand as we sing this song together.